you're here. Fellowship, Rita. Knowing you're near.
Reading from Job chapter 19, verse 25. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, very familiar to many of you. My heading in my NIV Bible is the Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, September 13th, 2022, and I have two special guests in the studio, and I read these verses because they happen to be special verses for a variety of reasons for my two guests today. Let's see, Mark, should I have you say some nice things about your pastor? You've been wanting him to be a part of Mark and Friends for some time, but you said, Mark, he's a great pastor. I'm really learning God's Word. And I know that about you, Mark. You like when God's Word is taught and proclaimed. And you know you've said many things about Pastor Josh Benner. But Mark Kugler is in the studio. He works with our Prime Life Times team, distributes papers with his beloved bride of, let's see, I read it here. You had the exact number of months, 27 months married to Andrea, your beloved wife. You live in the Cisna Park area, but you've assisted the radio ministry in a lot of ways over the years. But some weeks back you said, Mark, we did the special mission match. So tell us a little about that before we introduce Pastor Josh.
Okay, yes. Well, it was on March 17th. Tim Nelson had done a follow-up interview at the Springfield studio. That was St. Patrick's Day with Dr. Adeem Agama and his wife, June. And after hearing that interview, I said to myself, this is exactly what Mission Match is all about. Mm-hmm. And I volunteer at Empty Tomb and was challenged to get a project started with our church, Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park. So I approached the board about it, and they gave us a green light. And Pastor Josh and I coordinated and worked with that project. And we were given 90 days to raise funds for the project, and we just completed that last Sunday. So that worked out fantastic, and that's why I wanted Josh to talk about himself too.
And some might be familiar with the interviews that I had and also Tim had with the Agamas and their unique work at a hospital that they started up many years ago, and I think they've had 20 or 30 different trips there. And so you were encouraged through the broadcast, so you initiated through the Empty Tomb. They have that Mission Match program. and you talked it through with Pastor Joss and the board. So, Pastor Joss, you're the senior pastor at the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park, Illinois. You've recently celebrated your third anniversary there. Your beloved wife, Carrie, has been by your side for these 5 years in October. You have a child, a son, almost 1 year old, so congratulations on that. So Mark's a member of your church, and he presented this. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and first of all, thank you so much for having me and for having Mark. He mentioned March 17th. Even before that, he had mentioned this to me in conversations, and so he had done a lot of research into Empty Tomb, which is a local ministry in Champaign, that they have this ministry match, which is a fund where churches can apply to have a matching grant for projects in the 40 poorest countries in the world, according to the United Nations. So Mark knew about this opportunity, but at the time, we didn't have an idea of what we wanted to have as a project. And it was him, really providentially, listening to Dr. Agama's interview where he thought that that would be a perfect fit for what Mission Match is trying to do and something that we could get behind and support.
Yeah, and we put a star next to Mark's name because he is a regular listener to the programming and gets blessed by the many Bible teaching. And that's some of your faith journey story, is how God has used Christian radio in your life. But on this Testimony Tuesday, Pastor Josh, before we get into some of your faith journey, and you really love those Beatitudes.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you why. But I loved, as way of show prep, you both filled out some questions that I'd asked. The question generally, I asked just about all the people that we interviewed, what would you say to a non-believer or seeker who is listening to the program? And I love both of your responses. So I'll start with yours, Mark, and then yours, Pastor Josh, because our prayer before this program was, God, use what's said and shared to your glory, touch lives, encourage the senior saints, but also help those that maybe haven't even begun a faith journey to make steps towards recognizing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's part of the passion of this ministry, educate, edify, and evangelize. So I love the fact that we have a whole wide range of listeners from, like I said, the senior saint that's finishing well and loves Bible teaching and growing and knows the Lord Jesus and prays every day, to those that are far from the church. And I know that'll enter into some of your passion, is building community and reaching the lost. But Mark, you said when I asked you, what would you say to a non-believer or seeker who is listening to the program, you wrote, real Christians put shoe leather to their faith instead of just talk. Talk is cheap and doesn't mean much in the long scheme of life. Someday you're going to have to decide what to do about what Jesus has said in the Bible. Give your life away now and you'll never regret it. It's the best decision you'll ever make in life. But you have to decide yes or no. So you want that person that's tuned in today that maybe doesn't know Jesus, what, to recognize him as Lord and Savior?
Right. If you take Christ's words, you can't ride the fence. You can't have a middle ground. I think C.S. Lewis emphasized that in his book, Mere Christianity. You have to make a choice, either yes or no.
Yeah, and that's that part. He's either a liar,
right,
a lunatic, or the Lord.
Right.
You can't just say, oh, he was this great preacher or teacher, or this great rabbi or miracle worker. Well, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're not left with being able to say he's a good guy because he made these claims that, in one sense, are outrageous.
Right.
He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. You know, all that come to know me can be saved. He didn't claim to just be a good teacher. He claimed to be Lord and Savior.
Exactly. And that's why they wanted to stone him and kill him so many times.
Yeah. Now, Pastor Josh, you wrote, if you're listening right now, so listening friend, for those of you that maybe are new to a faith journey or are uncertain why you even landed on one of our 19 frequencies and you're thinking, I've just never heard conversations about people saying they have a relationship with God, this is what you want them to hear. If you're listening right now, you're listening for a reason. I love that. Maybe you're just randomly going through the stations on the radio and you happen to stop here right now. Maybe you've started listening to this program and you are with us today. There is a God who loves you. He's the answer to the most profound question that the human mind and soul asks. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What happens when I die? And then you go on to write, God loves you so much that his Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world and died for you. All of us are imperfect, and we all know it. And if we don't live up even to our own standards, we certainly don't live up to the standards of a holy God. But his Son paid the price. He lived the perfect life we could not live and died for all who believe in him. So in a nutshell, you want people to know Jesus because he is the Lord and Savior, and maybe elaborate a little more.
Yeah, that we are imperfect people. Mm-hmm. And as I had written, you know, we don't live up to our own standards. We have so many ways in our heart of hearts that we know we're flawed. I think in our society, there's a lot of attempts that we make to say that we're fine. We're doing okay. Mm-hmm. But I think deep down we know that we're not. And it's this disconnect that we have with God, and that we can't repair that on our own. But Christ is the one who restores a relationship with God that has been broken. And that's the good news of the gospel, that there is life and forgiveness and grace found through Christ. And so, just to reiterate for people who might just, in their minds, randomly be listening to this program right now, that there is a promise of forgiveness for all who believe in Jesus and believe in him as Lord and Savior.
And when we realize the character of God, who's loving, yes, he's sovereign, he's holy, he's righteous, he is to be feared in a healthy way, but he's also loving and tender, full of grace and mercy, and he's paved a way, he's made a way through the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we recognize we're sinners, that we're flawed, when we need a Savior, he's made the way for us to allow Jesus to take those sins, to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us righteous in his sight, not because we can earn it, not because we're doing a good job, but because of the act that he did on the cross, dying for our sins. Well, Pastor Josh, we opened up with those first 12 verses in Matthew chapter 5 about the Beatitudes. But before you comment on that, take us a little through your own faith journey growing up and how God was wooing you to himself. Because you were a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
But you didn't recognize early on that you needed a Savior.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very blessed to grow up with a great family, very loving parents, but we were not a church-going family. When I was a kid, I had some cousins I was very close to who were raised Catholic. They went to Mass pretty much every week. And there was always something to me that seemed really good about that. Mm. When I was in high school, I was able to take a humanities class where we spent a quarter of the year studying world religions. And I really enjoyed learning about different faith traditions. And at the time, honestly, Judaism made a lot of sense to me. The idea of a good and loving God made sense to me. Christianity didn't. I didn't understand that if there was God, why did you need this Jesus figure if there was God? I didn't understand at the time that Jesus is Lord. Fast forward a couple years later, I'm a senior in high school, and it dawns on me one week, I have a car. Like, I could just go to church, because I've continued to think about religious-type things. Again, it dawned on me that I could just go. I could just go to church. And I didn't realize the date at the time, but it was a leap day. February 29th, 2004 was the first church service I ever went to. It's the same week that the movie The Passion of the Christ was released in theaters. And I did the logical thing. I picked the church closest to our house. And I'm the kind of person who, if I'm interested in something, I go in.
All in.
Yeah, I'm all in. And so what I would do is I would go to that church. And to show you how little I knew about just church and Christianity, I wore like a shirt and tie and dress slacks my first time as an 18-year-old high school kid. None of the other kids at the church were dressing up for church. But my first like year going to church, every week I would go to the Presbyterian church. It was a Presbyterian church. To the Presbyterian church nearest our house. And then I would find a different church service. Everything from Methodist to Baptist to Lutheran to Quaker to Catholic. I went to a Mormon church service one. It was about 3 hours long. Within those first few weeks that the gospel became real to me, I was you alluded to this, I was a good kid. I never got in trouble. There was never any big crisis when I was growing up. I always had pretty good grades, you know, all that stuff. But I would say it was within those first few weeks that the gospel became real to me. It was like I could see the whole world through a different set of eyes.
And when you say it became real to you, is it the reading of God's word? Was it the proclamation of it? Was there somebody mentoring you? Like, who helped you discover these truths? Because for the listener that maybe hasn't been involved in church, they try to pick up the Bible and they read it like as maybe interesting literature or boring or this is archaic or I don't understand. You know, they get hung up in Leviticus, which I can understand is tough, but they don't maybe feel fed. At what point did you start really feeling like God was feeding you his truth?
I think it was probably more through preaching. As far as discipleship or somebody mentoring or leading me, I think in my early years as a Christian that that was something that was really lacking.
Mm-hmm.
I moved away to college, a couple hours away from home, and I still went to church. When I was in college, I was really an active student. I was in a fraternity. I wrote for the newspaper. I was on student government, you name it. And so I feel like at a certain point, church almost became one more club, and where it was something I still went to, but it wasn't like a focal point of my whole life. So yeah, I think the preaching of the word was the biggest thing for me that just communicated that I'm a sinful person. Even as somebody who was a pretty nice kid, that I'm still imperfect and sinful, and that there is grace through Jesus Christ.
And then when did you feel like, wow, Lord, you're really going to call me to preach and to equip others to know Jesus? When did that all stir in your heart?
Honestly, pretty quickly. Now, I was getting ready to go to college, and I knew enough at that point to know that if I wanted to be a pastor, in most churches, you need to go to seminary. I went to seminary at Trinity up in Chicago. So I wasn't planning on trying to become a pastor like that year. Like I knew there was going to be a little bit of time. But I had a couple conversations with the pastor of the church I was attending, and he was very gracious. He probably thought I was a little bit nuts, but he was very gracious. And it was something I felt led to, again, really probably within those first couple months.
And then when did Carrie enter the picture? How did God bring her into your life?
Yeah, so I met my wife after I graduated from seminary. I was in Minnesota for about 2.5 years at a church, and I met my wife online on eHarmony.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think that was providential, too. I was in Minnesota. She was living in Atlanta. And at the time, on eHarmony, you could set like a geographical perimeter. I wasn't searching in Atlanta. That's the other side of the country. But she was getting ready to move with her parents to St. Louis.
Hmm.
Her dad had just taken a job. He's the head of a Christian school in St. Louis. And so when she created a profile, she said she was going to be living in St. Louis because that's where she was going. And she ended up moving to Minnesota for our relationship without going to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I think it really was the hand of God leading us that brought us together. And I know they say you shouldn't keep score, and I'm glad that they say that because, I mean, she moved across the country for me.
Sure, sure. And how do you see God using her gifts and talents and abilities to assist you in your pastorate at the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park?
I think one of the ways is, I mean, she grew up, her whole life, her dad has been in Christian education.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't a pastor, but there's a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, it's almost like she was a pastor's kid, kind of under that microscope that a pastor's kid can be under. Which, for me, as somebody who never went to church before I was 18 years old, I feel like there's a lot of things in church culture that are more a part of her background and experience. So I think that's probably been helpful. Now that we have a kid, I think it's probably helpful. She's probably got a little bit better of a filter of what's age-appropriate for an 11-month-old.
Sure. And what would you say is one of the blessings that you've gleaned from being here, Christian Bible Church of Cisna Park?
Oh, the people have been very good to us. They've been very loving to me and my family as it's growing. I think there's a lot of people who are just very sincere, very genuine in their faith. The church, I won't get into the whole story, but 50 years ago, the church started in Cisna Park after leaving another church. And for the people who did that, there was some real strain and difficulty in family situations 50 years ago. And the longer I'm here, the more I appreciate the real act of faith that was. Because it wasn't so simple as how it is oftentimes nowadays, where you decide you're going to go to a different church than your parents, and they go, oh, okay, hope it's a good church. There was a cost to it. And I've also appreciated this church is incredibly generous.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we raised money for this hospital in Ghana. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't even mention it. I mean, we mention Ghana because we're raising money for it. But like on the average Sunday, we always have had more than enough. People are just faithful givers.
I'm going to have to look back at our records, but I think around 30 years ago, it was one of the churches in Cisna Park, and it might have been the Christian Bible Church, that had some prayer warriors that were praying about this radio ministry being launched. It was definitely a church in Cisna Park that were some of the very early, early prayer warriors and supporters of this radio ministry. I'll have to look back at the records to see if they're still somewhere, but I know Cisna Park had a role in launching Great News Radio. At that time, it was Good News Radio. But anyways, that's another whole story. Mark, we're going to give you the last word. You've appreciated the pastor, his commitment to declaring God's word in its fullness, and you've been a member there for some years. You were excited to bring him here, and you're excited about this project because you want to encourage other churches and people to catch the same vision. So what was that vision that you started with?
Yes, that's a real core of why I'm here today. I want somebody who's hearing our voices today to get fired up and say, hey, if this little cornfield church in Cisna Park can raise this money and get it matched by Mission Match and help Ghana, hey, we could do that too at our church. And maybe the fire will start and we could get a movement going. And that's what it's all about. A lot of little raindrops fill in the bucket. It makes a big difference. Christians in the United States can solve and save these children from dying. Mm-hmm. 1.3 million children under the age of 5 die just because the countries haven't reached the promise gap.
So what would somebody do? They hear this concept, Mission Match. Do they call Empty Tomb? And then is there an application process? Because somebody's saying, hey, I know of a water project in Africa, or I know XYZ.
Exactly. Right, right. MissionMatch.org on the internet. There is an application you fill out. Josh did that and surprised me because he went for the maximum amount of donation. And I've got very little faith. And I would have thought we would have started out maybe at the bottom end, you know, but he filled it out and went for the max and we made it. We went past it. But yes, missionmatch.org or contact the people at Empty Tomb, 301 North 4th Street here in Champaign. That's her passion. That's her focus.
Well, thank you, Josh, Pastor Josh, and Mark, all your behind-the-scenes efforts with this radio ministry, and thank you for honoring your pastor and bringing him in. And to close out, what are your worship times if somebody doesn't have a church family and they're in and around the Cisna Park area?
Yeah, our church is just south of town, just south of Cisna Park on 49. We meet Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m., the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park, Illinois. And is there a website for more information?
Yeah, you can find us at cpcbc.org, cpcbc.org, Cisna Park Christian Bible Church.
So cpcbc.org.
Yep, Cisna Park Christian Bible Church.
cpcbc.org. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Pastor Josh, for being a part of today, Testimony Tuesday. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under our Mark and Friends tab, so you can listen anytime. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Mark Cooler, and Pastor Josh Benner with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.